Normal Town Council members are cautious about the Black Lives Matter demand to cut police funding, but they're willing to talk.
What kind of society do we want, and what are we willing to pay for, and how can we make that happen?
That's Town Council member Karen Smith. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Tuesday, July 7th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with how Normal Town Council members are reacting to the lengthy list of demands from Black Lives Matter Blono. Mayor Chris Koo says he plans to arrange a meeting with BLM leadership so they can lay out any specific concerns they have with Normal police.
And I understand there are issues nationwide that need to be addressed depending on the police department and the community you're working with. But I need to understand what their request is, the problem they're solving with the Normal Police Department and their request to us.
The Black Lives Matter demands came in the heels of George Floyd's death in police custody in Minneapolis. First is to decrease local police funding by 50% by 2023, freeing up millions of dollars for social programs. Normal spends about $14 million per year on police, mostly salaries and benefits. Councilmember Kimberly Cummings says police departments in small and mid-sized cities like this already run pretty lean.
What concerns me with having that type of conversation, it's one of those surface things. It doesn't get to the root of it. It doesn't get to the root of racism. It doesn't get to the root of how we change culture.
Cummings says the complexity of municipal budgeting means it's not just easy to redirect money from a police department budget to social services, as many of those programs are run at the county or state level. Fellow Councilmember Karen Smith raised similar concerns, saying this moment reminded her of how Illinoisans with developmental disabilities were treated decades ago, when there were calls to close large state-run warehouse institutions and replace them with community-based services. The first part happened, but funding for the second part never really did.
A larger debate is needed over not the simplistic defund the police, but what kind of society do we want, and what are we willing to pay for, and how can we make that happen?
Smith and Cummings agree they'd be open to discussing the role of school resource officers in public schools. One of Black Lives Matter's demands is to eliminate those officers and invest that money into hiring Black counselors and teachers. Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. 7 new cases of the coronavirus were reported in McLean County yesterday. That makes 19 new cases in the past week, the highest number for any 7-day period since late May. Union leaders are calling on local governments to include better worker protections in any future tax incentive agreements, like the one approved almost 4 years ago with Rivian. And Illinois transportation officials are warning motorists to watch for damaged roads during intense heat. Pavement failures can be reported by calling 800-452-4368. See more on these stories at WGLT.org. The McLean County Museum of History has picked a new executive director. It's Julie Emig, currently the head of the Multicultural Leadership Program and a Bloomington City Council member. Emig tells Charlie Schlenker she has been a big fan of the museum for a long time, but the civic education that the museum engages in really excites her. Emig says she wants to build on the existing strengths of the institution.
I would enjoy trying to work with the staff on more outreach, more educational opportunities, all the way from our pre-K crowd up to our elder citizens, and really just continue to demonstrate that a history museum is not a monument set in stone. It's a living, active center, and you engage in learning about history by doing and thinking and really moving into that realm.
For the foreseeable future, we're going to be in a pandemic situation. What are the challenges to taking on a leadership post right now?
First, of course, we have to get through this safely, and I look forward to the day when we have a vaccine. But the biggest challenge for any nonprofit institution is going to be the economic fallout. So I envision that, you know, we'll really have to think about the big picture of the economy and what kind of impact that will have on the museum and how to be really strategic and deliberate going forward around that. Fortunately, the History Museum has launched a lot of educational activities and programming virtually. So that's, the silver lining there is perhaps discovering that there are ways to do the work of the museum in an online context and more people will be reached in that way.
Not-for-profit agencies and community institutions have to avoid politics like the third rail. You are a public servant. How are you going to reconcile those roles?
I have to be very intentional about it. I'm sure that there will be issues that come across my plate where I have to say, okay, I'm putting the museum director hat on and really thinking about motivating my decisions and the direction that we're taking based on what the museum needs. Or I have my city councilor hat on. The real thing, though, is to just be conscious of it and intentional about it. And if there's ever any time I need to back off and recuse myself from something, I will. But I don't see that that tension being too problematic between the City of Bloomington and the History Museum. They're partners, given that we're in Bloomington in the downtown area. But really, the museum works primarily with McLean County. That relationship will be important to foster as the director of the museum. And I think the other benefit of having a background as a civil servant is that there might be opportunities for collaboration that would be perfectly reasonable and lawful for us to pursue. So it's also an opportunity.
Regardless of efforts to recuse yourself or to stay on the healthy side of the line, opposition to your decisions in the council will try to paint you into a partisan corner on it, and that could hurt the museum. Is it really tenable for you to remain a city council person?
I think it's very tenable to remain a city council person. I guess I reject the premise that as I make decisions on council, I'll be painted in a partisan light. Rather, I think all decisions made on council need to be explained with rationale and evidence. That should lead my decision-making always. I'm not going to pretend that partisan politics don't play a role because they inevitably come up and are part of our where we get our ideas and values. But in the end, I'm sure that I can make decisions with good reason and good information and a lot of communication with residents and the people, my constituents, the people I represent. I don't foresee that as harming the museum at all.
That's Julie Emig, the new executive director of the McLean County Museum of History. She spoke with Charlie Schlenker. Before we let you go, the County Board's Transportation Committee meets today at 8 a.m. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.